Vedas. And there is so much going on in this world. And we were in Iceland, and it had been about 2,000 earthquake every day for last days. And we were in a house that was hit by earthquake almost up to 5 on Richter. And all the house was shaking, and the earth was moving like we was on the boat on the sea. But there was no fear in us. And because we are in the right place, in the right moment. We are in Christ. And he says in John chapter 16 and verse 33, he says that in me you have peace. And we are in him and we are in peace. And he said, in this world you will have tribulation, but be a good cheer, because for I have overcome the world. This is really things that we need to put really in our heart and mind these days, because he did not only overcome the tribulation, but he overcome all the things that was causing the tribulation. He overcame the world. And when we are in him, we have access to this victory in him. And it really hit me when Justin was sharing about what was happening in his trip, because when we went to Iceland and we were praying, God was speaking to us about the difference between eating and drinking. And he said, there is many that do not want to eat in this day, but they will sure drink. And the fruit that I have put in your life, I will squeeze it. I will make juice out of it for the people, and they will drink it. And that is what I really felt you were saying, Justin, that you came and you were not preaching every special thing, but the people are drinking of our spirit that day. And if you look at John chapter 7, I think it's in the last day of the feast. John chapter 7 and verse 37. He said, in the last day of the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He was not in that day that they was going to eat. This was a time to drink. There is a time coming, brethren, that we are not going to be able to stand and preach the word, but to share and manifest the living spirit of God within us. To let those who come to us, be among us, drink. And when we were in Iceland, we were visiting quite many people, just loving them, just supporting them. And many of them were widows. And it really, really was in our mind to give them to drink, because there is something that God has put within us that is very special. We know that when Jezebel wanted to take the vineyard, it was because she didn't want to have a grape in that vineyard. The grape is the fruit from the promised land. The grape is Christ within us. And the spirit of this world do not want Christ within us in this day. And out of that grape, when you crease the grape, you are going to have the new wine. And that new wine is the drink that is going to come forth in our life. And if you look at in Esther chapter 1 and verse 7, he says, and they gave them drink in vessel of gold. Do you see this? This is a vessel of gold. This is a vessel of glory. This is a glorified vessel that they are going to drink of. In Christ, you are going to become a vessel of glory. And he says, the vessel being different from one another. That is we, brethren. We are different from one another, but we are of the same spirit. And he said, and royal wine in abundance. What a drink of God coming forth in our life. What a powerful drink of this new wine coming forth in our life for the people that is thirsty. They are not going to get some water or just ordinary water. They are going to have this new wine to drink and to be fed on. And he says, according to the states of the king, it is all according to our king. All this drink that is now flowing from our life in this last days of this feast, all the drink that people are going to drink from us, meet us and see coming forth in us, it's according to the king, not ourselves, our king, and only him. That is what my testimony of what I have been really feeling these days, and all this trip to Iceland and coming back. I am still writing down a lot of things that happened and was going on in my spirit. But what a battle that is coming, and what a victory over this battle is going to come. And what a precious time to be in, and what a precious people that we have become to feed and stand together in these days, knowing one another through the spirit of living God and nothing else according to our King, in Jesus' name. So bless you. I have missed you, and I am happy to be among you again.
So were there 4,000 earthquakes within 1 or 2 days?
It was 2 days, about 4,000 earthquakes. So the whole area had been shaking quite much. So I believe it will be blow up now, maybe in 1 or 2 days. So it's quite much activity under the Iceland.
I remember this happened a few years ago. I don't remember when, but the skies were so dark that the airplanes could not fly. And I think it affected the United Kingdom, that the planes could not come into Heathrow at all during that period of time, because this ash would plug up the airplane engines.
Yes.
So something is rumbling down deep in the earth. But you know, go ahead.
It's about 160 volcanoes in this island. So the whole island is just one volcano.
Yeah.
And one time it was so powerful that it put Germany in darkness. Mm. And destroyed all the harvest in Germany that year. And because the harvest was destroyed, the French Revolution took place. Mm. So when you read about the French Revolution, you can blame it on Iceland.
It's good to have you back, Daniel. And what you said brought a couple little things to my mind that I'd like to comment on. The first one was drinking. Back in the 80s, I had Epstein-Barr virus one time. And this specialty guy came to a town near our time to give a conference on Epstein-Barr virus. And this friend of mine called me up and said, Mike, I want to take you to this thing. I thought, bless your heart, you know. So anyway, we went to this thing, and this guy probably talked for about an hour. And I only remember one thing that he said from the whole thing. And what that was he said, when you come to us, the first thing we ask you is, what are you drinking? And the reason for that is because whatever you drink goes directly into your bloodstream. It doesn't go through the normal digestive process and gets broke down and take a bunch of time, just bang, it's an instant dose of whatever. And so I just felt like that just shows us how important it is to drink of the Lord. And then the second thing was, when you were talking about the grapes, I remember when I was reading the Bible one time and it was talking about the Nazarite vow. And it said he was not to partake of the grape, don't touch it, don't drink it, don't anything it. And I was really perplexed by that because, you know, it sort of didn't pass the test of God in my mind. It's like, well, the grape is something good. It's something healthy for us, you know, and why would that be part of the vow to stay away from that? And so I was just asking and asking the Lord, God, explain this to me. What is going on here? And so one day he spoke to me. He just said one verse to me. He said, wine maketh merry the heart of man. And I just kept repeating that in my mind. Wine maketh merry the heart of man. And I just kept saying, God, I don't see it. Wine maketh merry the heart of man. I just, you know, and all of a sudden I saw it. Wine maketh merry the heart of man, not necessarily the heart of God. And so I realized that the grape is the source of natural joy. Wine maketh merry the heart of man. Natural joy is not what we're necessarily after. We're after spiritual joy, and we've got to let go of the natural things of this life. You know, Jesus said, you know, you got to lose your life to get your life, you know. And so I finally realized what that vow was about, is the grape is the source of natural joy, and we got to rise above that to a much higher joy.
Amen. One more thing about Iceland, Brother Daniel. I just read yesterday that something very similar to that is happening in the Canary Islands. There's hundreds of earthquakes coming in the volcano that made the Canary Islands. If you don't know where that is, it's off the coast of West Africa, out in the Atlantic there a little bit.
So yeah, it is our. Canary Island is on the same
fault line.
On the same schedule of mountain and as Iceland, and it goes just straight down to Chile and Argentina and this land. It started there and comes up to Iceland.
So we never know. There could be something real big coming.
Yes, it is.
Daniel, when you were speaking, I was reminded again, and the Lord spoke to me this quite a while ago. He said, crushing the grapes. I don't know if you remember that because I shared it.
Yeah.
And he said, crushing the grapes.
Yes.
And I was like, I had to ponder on it. And the Lord was showing me it's not to destroy us. He's crushing the grapes because he wants to bring forth the new wine out of us.
Yes.
And that's the motive. The crushing of the grapes is to bring forth the new wine.
Amen.
So we should embrace the crushing of the grapes.
Amen. That is why he said to his mother on the wedding in Cana, he said when she was asking him to turn the water into wine, he said to her, my time have not yet been come.
Amen.
He was meaning that they were not supposed to turn the water into wine until I start my ministry. I am going to show you in my life how the water is turned into wine, how the Spirit of God is going to be filled with my Father. That is what he was saying to his mother. My time has not come. It is me that is going to be that water that is going to be turned into this wine.
And the interesting thing, Daniel, about that wedding, is that they didn't bring out the best wine until last.
Yes.
Amen.
Yeah, you are this vessel of this new wine, Rita.
Amen.
We are that. We are choosing to be in this hour to be that.
Yes. Amen.
You know, another thing it says to me is the compassion of Jesus, because even though he said, it's not my time, he did it anyway.
Yeah. Yes.
Yes. Amen.
Amen. Bless you.
Well, I want to bring, if we have nothing more to share, I want to bring the second and hopefully the last of this Jezebel message. And what we want to talk about today is not the historical Jezebel, but the spiritual Jezebel. And what I would say, first of all, is that Jezebel is a spirit of control. When we try to control others, when we try to control the move of God in the church by our own hand, This is Jezebel. It's a spirit of Jezebel. The other thing that I notice, and we will see this in, as we read the word, is Jezebel has very strong sexual overtones involved in this spirit. Very strong. And it's between that and control. One or the other is going to be manifest, maybe both. As I was thinking this week about this message, I found in my file a hard copy, I guess we'll call it a hard copy of a message that Brother Campbell brought in 1990. How many years ago would that be? 32 years ago. Now, I do not believe that I heard it was a message that he brought somewhere in Wisconsin, and I've been inquiring about trying to find this audio version of this message, and Jim Castle remembers it. Apparently he was at that meeting. He said it was a very, very anointed word that Brother Campbell brought. I've asked Gordon to seek to try to find it. Between him and Jim, hopefully somebody has that recorded. And if we can find it recorded, I would even play it here in one of our meetings, because I think it is an extremely, extremely important message brought by the prophet of God. And just for me to read it textually could not possibly put in the spirit that God's prophet would put into it in bringing a message like that. Everybody, those few that heard it, say it was a tremendous word. So I'm just leaving that. We're asking that God would be able to help us find that in the audio. And then, of course, it would have to be put into a digital audio so that we could share it. I have the hard copy, but it's in a font that is very difficult to read. So at least we have some evidence of it. Amen. Is there anything else that anybody had to say before we get into the word?
Yeah, I talking about what's going on in Iceland and the Canary Islands reminded me of what the word says. In Hebrews 12, it says that, see that you refuse not him who speaks, for if they escape not who refused him who spoke on earth, much more shall you not escape if you turn away from him who speaks from heaven, whose voice then shook the earth. But now he has promised, saying, yet once more will I shake not the earth only, but also the heavens. And his word, yet once more, signifies the removing of those things that are shaken, of those things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. Therefore, seeing we've received a kingdom that cannot be moved, let us have grace, whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. For our God is a consuming fire.
Amen. So there is coming, apparently, a natural shaking in the earth, but also a very spiritual shaking is on the cusp.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. I think God is just giving us these signs to prepare us.
Yeah.
The real shaking that's coming.
Well,
praise God.
Okay,
hi, this is Victor. Speaking about the, I know it's been a while. Sorry, I haven't quite had enough time on my hands to be on here on some Sundays, and I had quite a number of exams to pass. It's possible to be here anyway, so I'm trusting God to strengthen me with my time management, especially. Speaking about earthquakes and difficulties here and there, we had a little bit here in France. I was quite far from it, so the magnitude wasn't that strong. It was just about 5.5 or thereabouts, and it was brief. And France at the moment is having a whole lot of instability in some areas. There was a shooting, and it was a shooting of a 15-year-old. There was one already in my city, but it wasn't that. The problems that came out from that one wasn't that big, but this one with the 15-year-old happening just a few weeks thereafter had brought in this level of violence in France recently, and looking at the news and all of that, it's mostly from those from the Arab nation, those from Central Africa, those from basically the Muslims are the ones making this move against the policies in France that do not favor them. They want to have it their own way. And so that's just the situation in France. I would ask for prayers that this be nipped to the bud. This should be the day should come to an end, because we don't want it spreading out into regions that would, you know, affect, you know, so much. Amen.
Yes, much riots, we understand, in France or in Paris, much riots, just total turmoil. We also read somewhere that the government of Dutch, the government has failed. I don't know what that means, but some very perilous thing is happening over there too. But these are perilous times, brethren. We haven't seen it yet here in America, but there will be, before the summer's over, I'm sure there will be much unrest in the cities. You know, it is imperative that we be found in the place that God would have us to be, and that we not be where God would not have us to be. God cannot protect us if we move out of his will and go and be somewhere that we shouldn't be. And I would just say, in these cities in America where there's much turmoil, if God doesn't want you there, you better get out of there. And don't be going to the events of the world, the concerts and what have you, unless the Holy Spirit has clearly asked you to be there, because that's where these mass shootings take place. Somebody shows up at these public gatherings. Well, anyway, let me get to the word here. Revelation chapter 2, we're going to read the message to the church of Thyatira, which involves Jezebel. Let me just say before I begin that all these seven churches, we brought these messages in 2002, and they're in this little book, which is on the website. You can find everything that we said to the Church of Thyatira. Let me see what the page numbers are. It's the chapter on Thyatira. More than I will ever say today. But let me start with this letter to Thyatira. Revelation chapter 2, verse 18. And unto the angel of the church in Thyatira write, these things saith the Son of God, who hath his eyes like unto a flame of fire, and his feet are like fine brass. I know thy works, and charity, and service, and faith, and thy patience, and thy works, and the last to be more than the first. Notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee, because thou sufferest that woman Jezebel, which calleth herself a prophetess, to teach and to seduce my servants to commit fornication and to eat things sacrificed unto idols. And I gave her space to repent of her fornication, and she repented not. Behold, I will cast her into a bed, and them that commit adultery with her unto great tribulation, except they repent of their deeds. And I will kill her children with death, and all the churches shall know that I am he which searcheth the reins and the hearts, and I will give unto every one of you according to your works. But unto you I say, and unto the rest in Thyatira, as many as have not this doctrine, and which have not known the depths of Satan as they speak, I will put upon you none other burden, but that which ye have already hold fast till I come. He that overcometh and keepeth my works unto the end, to him will I give power over the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron, as the vessels of a potter shall they be broken to shivers, even as I received of my Father. And I will give him the morning star. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Now, this, of course, was written to a natural church. For some reason, God selected these seven churches of Asia Minor. As I said, they were natural churches, but I believe that they are pictures of churches, or at least there are things here in these churches that are found in the churches today. I would furthermore say that this is clearly a message to the end time. For instance, to the letter of Philadelphia, it says, "Because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation, which will come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth." That means that whatever these churches represent, in natural or in spiritual, will be found here in the very last days, in the very great tribulation that will come upon all the earth. And if I were to be found in any one of these churches, I would say I want to be found in Philadelphia, where I have kept, amen, and will be kept from the terrible tribulation that will devour all the earth. Now, getting into this Thyatira, the Lord is saying here that he has a few things against the church. So what we have here now is a picture, a spiritual picture of Jezebel in the church. There's Jezebel in the home, there's Jezebel in the church, there's Jezebel in the marriage. But this particular picture is Jezebel in the church. Now, how does she get into this? How does she get into the church? As I said, it's a spirit of control. Mainly she wants control. And when she gets control, she'll probably bring other things in as well. I don't know if you've ever experienced an attack or a move of Jezebel to come into the church or not. The thing I mentioned last week about that we had prayed for two sisters, and there was another woman that really wasn't part of us, but she called and wanted us to prophesy publicly that the one woman would be healed and the other would not, okay? So one of the things the Lord says, of course, we didn't prophesy that, and as far as we know, they were both healed and going on with their life. But Jezebel, it says here, which calleth herself a prophetess, to teach, all right? So she moves into a place that she does not belong. She moves into a teaching position in the church, and she brings what she says is prophecy, but it's not true prophecy. It's sorcery, it's divination. And I don't know if you've ever heard somebody prophesy in divination, but to prophesy in divination can be actually factually correct. I say factually correct. In order to determine, there's a difference between what is factual and what is truth. For instance, let me give a for instance. Suppose somebody knew me when I was a sinner, and they come along and they say, "Oh, Brother Mark, he did this. Okay, those are all factual things. Factually, they're correct, but they're no longer truth, because all of my past is under the blood of Jesus Christ, and it's eliminated as far as he's concerned, as far as the east is from the west. And that's a long ways. East is from the west. It really never comes to an end. You just keep circling and going round and round." So, and also they are cast into the deepest sea. And we know that no man can survive in the deepest sea because of the pressure there. In other words, they're eliminated. So the difference between fact and truth. So Jezebel calls herself a prophetess. Now that's one of her traits. I was thinking this week of where we had another example of a spirit of Jezebel coming in. By the way, I said the spirit of control. I don't know if I can ever find it, but I got a hold of a tape one time that a little unknown preacher, I have no idea who he was, came to this little unknown church at the foot of the hill where we lived called Sloansville. You remember that place, don't you, Larry? A little church in Sloansville. And Bernie and Marilyn came out of that church. And I think they were probably with that church when this man brought this message on the spirit of control. If I can find that tape, I would also like to bring it out, because it is the best message that I have ever heard about the spirit of control. Going back to the example that I wanted to give, we of course were a fellowship that didn't have a pastor. We weren't reverend, we weren't a pastor, we weren't this, we didn't have titles, we were elders. And a visitor comes in among a group like this and says, oh, these people just have elders. They don't have anybody in control. Whatever I want to do, I'm going to get away with it. And I'm going to begin to project myself into this group. So we had a sister, I call her a sister, I believe she's born again and all that, but came in with her guitar. And by the way, they're good people. I know them personally. I know her husband. He's a good man. He's born again. Kind of a quiet fella. He sort of takes the back seat and kind of lets her take the front burner. And anyway, she came in with her guitar and asked if she could join us in the music, you know, in the music ministry. And I said, sure, you can. Marilyn was playing the piano in those days, and I said, you can get right up there with Marilyn and join her. Marilyn will kind of lead, you know, and choose the songs, or we'll choose the songs, and you just get in there with your guitar and you play along and you can sing along with us. Well, I thought that would satisfy her. Well, she did that for a time or two, and the next thing you know, she had a song that she wanted to sing. Well, it was a song that we didn't know at all. We'd never heard of it. It was one of these songs from, what do you call these big groups?
It was before Marilyn. It was Jerry Cordata.
Oh, that's right. That's right. It was Jerry Cordata that was playing the piano. Yes. And Jerry was an elder, by the way, among us. And So you can play along with Jerry. Well, that didn't satisfy her. She wanted to bring a couple of these other songs. And I said, Brother Jerry, where are these songs coming from? And he knew all about it. He was a music teacher, you know, in the school, and a very gifted man in the fellowship as well with music. He said, oh, he named some of these names, like Integrity. Is that a big music group? Big company or something, I don't know. Anybody ever heard of Integrity Music?
Yeah.
Oh, you have?
Yeah.
What is it? It's modern music or something, isn't it?
I think it's a collection of different musicians. You have Don Mon, Ron Kennelly, and a few household names. So yes, they come under the umbrella of Integrity Music. Yeah.
We call it contemporary Christian music, right?
Yeah, something like that.
Well, you know, it might be anointed for somewhere, but it wasn't anointed for us. Amen. You know, I'm thinking of music while we're at it. You know, the past generation had some real good songs, and it was really anointed for their generation. But this word that we bring, this kingdom message, it has an anointing of its own kind of songs. Some of the songs that we sing were brought by brethren that we know. Patty's here with us today. She's brought some of these songs from the Lord. and others. And, you know, many, sadly, they were very anointed, but sadly, many of these brethren are not walking in this word anymore. Nevertheless, I said to the sister, well, she wanted to bring more. Next thing you know, she wanted all the songs. And I said, sister, we've got over 300 songs in our songbook available to us. You cannot find one of those songs among those 300 that are anointed enough to bring in this fellowship. Well, again, the traits of Jezebel, one of the traits that Tommy Cook mentioned is that she will come against the ministry. She'll come against the eldership. Well, the next thing I know, she was bringing us stories. Well, Jerry played in this place. He did a gig and he played over here and they paid him to do it. And he's lost his anointing and all this and that. Well, so in other words, trying to break down the ministry. Finally, we just said, look, sister, you're welcome to play with us, but we're not going to be choosing any of your songs. If you want to join us and follow along, not be in control, follow along with Brother Jerry or whoever among us has the word of the Lord, you're welcome to do it. She disappeared. She's gone. I found out she did this to several other places, several other fellowships. Said, well, she come in, she want to do this, she want to do that. Well, no, she was a nice woman, by the way. Pleasant. I believe she was a born-again Christian, but she had a spirit, and she didn't realize she had a spirit. Her husband, thank God, was a good old boy, you know, an easygoing type of fellow, go along with it. He was really a good man. I liked him. Still would if I met him again. Amen. Well, what the Lord is saying here now in this to the church, the problem with the church is thou sufferest that woman Jezebel. Thou sufferest. What that means is you're putting up with it. So he's expecting the church to purge out these spirits that don't belong in the church. Okay? Somebody has to rise up and say, look, we can't have this. You're welcome to be here, but you're not welcome to manifest that spirit. So this church was suffering the woman Jezebel, who called herself a prophetess, and apparently they were acknowledging her as a prophetess in the group, but it seems that not everybody in that church was doing so. And not only that, but she has a spirit of seduction. Now, you remember last week when we were talking about Jezebel, when she was finally confronted by Jehu, what did she do? She fixed her hair and she painted up her face. And she was thinking, I'm sure, well, I've been able to use this means to get anything else that I wanted. I've used it on Ahab, worked pretty good with him. I could get him to do anything. I could get him to let me kill prophets. I could get him to kill Naboth. I could get him to let me, just give me a free hand, and I'll get anything you want. So Ahab gave her the free hand. She seduced Ahab, and she's thinking, well, it worked with Ahab, it should work with Jehu too. But it didn't work with Jehu. And Jehu looked up there and he saw the eunuchs. He knew they were eunuchs, and he knew that that wasn't going to work with a eunuch either. So he said, throw her down. And as I fully believe that the eunuchs had been looking forward to getting rid of her for a long time, and they picked her up and just threw her out the window. Amen. So I'll use the word permit, thou sufferest the woman Jezebel. In other words, they hadn't necessarily appointed her to any position, but they were letting her get away with it. in other words, that spirit of Jezebel was just so strong that nobody was willing to rise up and put their foot down and say, we've had enough of this. Stop. Enough. All right. To seduce my servants. So we see the spirit of seduction here. Let me look at that word here. To seduce. I'm going to look up the word seduce here. That's in 20. Beguile. That's a good word. Beguile. What did Eve say? What did Eve say when God asked her what happened? She said, the serpent beguiled me. So we're talking about a pretty strong spirit here, a very persuasive spirit. If you've ever been under a spirit of seduction, if you've ever been under a spirit of control, if you've ever been in a situation in your life where somebody has had you so much bound up in fear that you didn't know, you were afraid to step out, you were afraid to step up, you were afraid every move you made, you were afraid that something was going to come down on you. I don't know, have any of you ever been in a situation like that? Maybe it's way back when you were kids, somebody had you in such a state that bullied over you and this type of thing. That's the same spirit we're talking about, the spirit of a bully. Amen. So, but it doesn't have to always appear to be a bully. It can come in a very persuasive, soft, smooth manner, very seductive manner. Amen. To seduce my servants to commit fornication. So here's the sexual overtones. Now, this undoubtedly, we're talking about a spiritual spirit here. The spiritual spirit of fornication or adultery means that there is not 100% loyalty to Jesus Christ. There's a loyalty to other loves, other things that we love that are put in front of him. You know, brethren, even if you begin to love music, you begin to put that above the true spirit of the Lord. You begin to put it above the true word of God. And, you know, I don't know, it just seems my observation that people that are gifted in the arts, gifted in music, and gifted in these kinds of things can be very vulnerable to these spirits of seduction, especially these spirits of sexual perversion that seem to open these people. And I think you have a greater overcoming to do. Now, other people just not moved at all by these kind of spirits, just no interest at all. Sometimes I wonder, you know, the people that are given over to drugs, given over to alcohol. I thank God that I never had whatever, the DNA in me or anything that would ever tempt me in that manner. So for many years, I had a very hard time trying to understand how could a person give themselves over to drugs? How could a person give themselves over to alcohol? But I've come to understand everybody has something very unique in your own life that you have to overcome. So if you're given to being seduced by Jezebel, to fornication or to things sacrificed to idols, which is spiritual adultery, brethren, you need to rise up and cast off that spirit. And by the way, when I say cast it off, I mean cast off every accoutrement that has anything to do with it. If you got involved in drugs through a certain kind of music, brother, take all that music, burn it, destroy it, have nothing more to do with that kind of music. Because back in the 60s, I was there, we came through the 60s, that music began to open up the souls of young people to the drug culture, to the sex culture, the free sex culture, amen? it began to open them up. And I've known that when people get rid of this thing, they need to get rid of all the accoutrements that have anything to do with it. I knew a young brother one time that had really had a hard time with drugs when he was young, and alcohol as well. And I was having a little talk with him one time, and he got caught in something that was quite embarrassing. And I had a little talk with him. I said, "Well, now, are you ready to give that all up? Are you ready to give up alcohol? And are you ready to give up drugs?" Well, he said, I think it's okay if I have a drink once in a while. I said, "Brother, you're an alcoholic. You have a drink once in a while. It's not going to end at that." I said, "What about drugs?" "Well, I think it would be okay to have a marijuana once in a while. You know, that's not a hard drug." I said, "Brother, if you're going to overcome, you need to swear off everything of that whole culture. Totally clean. Let nothing of that thing touch you if you really want to overcome it." So we're talking about overcoming the spirit of Jezebel. Now, what the Lord is saying here, behold, here's what he's going to do. And I believe that this applies to church. I can only say the Lord is speaking this to the church. Okay? He said, "Well, we don't have that in our church." Nevertheless, he's speaking it to the church. Okay? Might be an outer court church. Might be outer court people. Nevertheless, this is the message of the Lord. All right? "I will cast her into a bed." By the way, I don't know if this is a natural her woman. I suspect it might have been. Or whether it was only a spirit, her spirit. Amen? Whatever, he's going to take this spirit and those involved with her into a bed, and them that commit adultery with her, in other words, those that are taking this instead of the Lordship of Jesus Christ, into great tribulation, except they repent of their deeds. Now, this bed, I looked it up, very interesting word. This is not a bed of rest. It's not a bed of pleasure. What this word bed means is a bed of sickness. It would be the equivalent of saying, "I'm going to cast her into a hospital bed in the intensive care unit." So, brethren, I believe he means it literally. Those who are involved in this spirit are going to find themselves in great physical peril in their health, and it might be to cause them to repent. He said, except they repent of their deeds. So he's holding out the possibility here of repentance. Now, here's another interesting thing. "I will kill her children with death." What other means of killing is there? No, not just spiritual death, natural death as well. So if there's a spirit, now, by the way, when we're talking about this spirit, you know very well that we're talking about Babylon as well. This spirit is in Babylon. This spirit, when I say Babylon, you know that the mother of harlots is the Roman Catholic Church. And everything I say here about the spirit of control, the spirit of seduction, the sexual adultery that goes on in this church as well is being exposed in this hour. How many of you ever saw that that DVD, what was the name of that? It was reporters in Boston. Was it a newspaper there in Boston? Spotlight. How many of you ever saw that movie Spotlight? Dustin, you're the only one? Come on, Larry, I gave you a copy. Didn't you guys see it? Listen, if you have any doubts about what is going on in the Roman Catholic Church, Babylon, get a hold of that movie Spotlight. About 5 or 6 years ago, they published that. And every time I would go into a DVD store, I would clean out all the copies that they had there. And I send them out to everybody I could think of. I must have sent 15 or 20 of those out. And I must still have one. But I'm sure you can get it on the by going to Amazon or something like that. And I'm very surprised that somehow the Roman Catholics didn't put out a contract to kill the people that made that DVD. It is very, very strong message. Actually interviewing some of the Roman Catholic clergy that were involved in that thing. Very strong. And I give kudos to this little newspaper there in Boston. I give them thumbs up for having the braveness and the boldness to go ahead and make that movie. You know, Spotlight. Don't forget it. Get a hold of it if you can. All right. He said, and I will kill the children with death, and all the children shall know that I am he which searcheth the reins and the hearts, and I will give to every one of you according to their works. Now, what's going to happen when the Lord brings this judgment of the spirit of Jezebel? He says that all the churches are going to know. What is it that Paul had a word somewhere? I'm trying to think. That all the principalities and powers shall be taught. Where is that message? To teach the principalities and powers. Who remembers where that word is in the New Testament? It was on one of the Sunlight messages a couple weeks ago, that we the church are to teach the principalities and the powers, the power and the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ, and teach them a lesson and put them in their place.
Ephesians 3 verse 10.
Where is it?
Ephesians chapter 3 verse 10.
Let me read it. Ephesians 3:10. Yes. Thank you, dear brother. Ephesians 3:10. Oh, here it is. Here it is. I'm going to read a couple verses here. Let's start with 9. And to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ, and there's a colon there, so it's the same sentence, to the intent that now unto the principalities and the powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God. Well, it's a long sentence, but I'll quit there. The church is to teach the principalities and the powers. That includes the unclean principalities and powers, the devils, the demons, those that are seducing the young people in the church. Amen? Let's put those demons on notice that their time has come. To teach my people, to teach the people in the church, to teach them, this Jezebel teaches them fornication. Now, I was a public health nurse back in the 1960s. And my job in Fairbanks, since I was a guy, I was appointed to go into the bars. Oh, Fairbanks had, it was like a Wild West town back in the 60s. I mean, it really was. I mean, there was still gold mining going on, and it was the saloons, they just looked like these pictures of the Old West, where the cowboys, but this would be the gold miners and the drunks and what have you gathered in. Anyway, my job was to do the VD, and we called it VD back in those days. It's STD now, sexual transmitted disease. I had to go in there and find the girls and bring them out and bring them into the health center for treatment. Well, one day, our head nurses from Juno, powers that be, brought in a woman by the name of Mary Calderon. Now, I'd never heard of her. So they brought her in, and she was going to give a talk to the public health nurses. And of course, what their motive was, I think they had a pretty good motive. I don't think they really knew what this woman was all about. What their motive was, and what the teaching was in those days, if only we could teach people how this disease goes, we could prevent it. Because everybody would be, you know, we were quite, I think we were quite naive in our assumption. Well, if everybody knows what happens and how they catch this disease, well, everybody will be careful, everybody will be safe, and this thing will be wiped out. We don't have to worry about it anymore. You know, it's like wiping out tuberculosis. Well, we just treat it, and we tell people, you know, how to be careful. Well, the problem is, you know what? Let's teach them about sex. That thing has been going on now for how many years? What was that, 60 years ago? And we were going to start doing that teaching. What's happened in the 60 years? Has it got better? No. Teaching is not the answer, brethren. Teaching young people, teaching them in kindergarten, teaching them in third grade, this is not the answer, brethren. The Lord Jesus Christ in their life is the only answer. Purity, righteousness is the only answer that's going to stop this thing. And you know, this woman that came in, she didn't say much. I wasn't very impressed with her. But what I found out later is she was one of those that represented the feminist movement. Now, what has happened in the last 60 years with this feminist movement? This is Jezebel I'm talking about, brethren. This feminist movement is Jezebel. And it is very, very strong. It's not just women's rights. This thing is destroying the home. It's destroying women in the home. It's destroying motherhood. Amen? It's destroying the role of the wife. It is now, it's destroying the identification between male and female. Yes, this is a feminist movement, brethren. This is where it's come to. Transgenderism. Now it's new name, transgenderism. Now I saw a picture of one of the bathrooms in one of the schools, and apparently New York is now making some kind of a proclamation in the Department of Education. And I saw a picture of one of the signs in one of the bathrooms of the school. It says, whatever. On one side, there's a skirt. On the other side, it's a man's leg. Whatever. I don't know if that just applies to New York City or if that spirit is going to invade up here in the rural areas as well. We don't cater to that up here. I'll tell you that. And by the grace of God, we're not going to give in to that spirit. But this is Jezebel with the sexual overtones is the spirit of Jezebel. Now, what happened last year is finally her sacred calf was touched. The sacred calf abortion. You see, that's the end result of sexual freedom. The women don't just want that freedom. The sexual, the woman's lib movement, they don't just want to seduce. What they want is that they will not get caught and they will not pay any penalty from doing what God intended to bring forth another generation and violating the purpose of God. Amen. We go back to the book of Genesis. And he created them male and female. This is all part of this woman's lib movement, this whole woman's rebellion movement. This is Jezebel, brethren. This is Jezebel. So let me take you another place now. We've read what the Lord said it to Thyatira. I want to show you just the snare of Jezebel, and I want to find it in Proverbs chapter 7. Proverbs chapter 7. I read this chapter many times since I was a young man, and I understood what it meant. But I want to look into this chapter again in view of that this isn't just a picture of the seductress, a harlot, on a young man, but it's a picture of Jezebel, the seductive ways of Jezebel. My son, keep my words and lay up my commandments with thee. Keep my commandments and live, and my law as the apple of thine eye. Bind them upon thy fingers, write them upon the table of thine heart. Say unto wisdom, thou art my sister, and call understanding thy kinswoman. Notice the gender that's being used here. See, they're trying to get rid of gender. You can't have a Bible and get rid of gender, brethren. When the Lord says thy kinswoman, he means what he says, thy sister. Amen. Wisdom is your sister. Understanding is your near kinswoman, your mother, your aunt. Amen. That they may keep thee from the strange woman. Oh, there's Jezebel. The immoral woman is what we're talking about. From her stranger, which flattereth with her words. So she starts off with words. Hey, handsome. Hey, you're a good looking guy. You know? Where'd you come from? You come here often? Whatever. She's bold. She comes out with these words, flattering. Oh, you're a real smart guy, aren't you? You know? For at the window of my house, I looked through my casement. In other words, he's saying, I watched this all take place. I saw how it happened. I'm looking through the window. I can see them, but they can't see me. Amen. And behold, among the simple ones, I discerned among the youths a young man, void of understanding. What's void of understanding mean? I didn't like the word naive. Naive. What's naive mean? Oh, I remember I was a young man, come out of a Christian school, went up there to Alaska, went into the health center, gave me my assignments. It was every Monday morning I had to do this. And I asked a few questions and My supervisor, she was a big old woman, about 50, 55 years old. She'd been married to a trapper, you know. She was a rough woman. But she was a good woman. And she called me boy. She says, boy, you're naive, aren't you? I said, no, Mary. I know what's going on. Amen. Well, she thought just because you came from a Christian environment that you must be naive. Well, this young man was naive. He didn't know what was going on. But the word of God here is trying to warn him. Amen. Void of understanding, passing through the street near her corner, and he went the way to her house. This is the way it goes on, the same way today, out in the streets, in the rough part of the city, standing there in the street corners. You can tell she looks like Jezebel. She's painted up, she's dressed up, she got her hair the same way. She's advertising. Amen. In the twilight, in the evening. They don't do this in broad daylight. You know, I remember going into these bars. You know, it was, your eyes would always have to readjust to the darkness as soon as you got into these places. And I was thinking, why don't they put fluorescent lights in here? Well, because men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. They don't want to have everybody see what they're doing. Amen. So in the twilight in the evening, in the black and dark night, spiritually a dark situation, a spiritually situation where there's not much light of the Spirit of God, no word of God being proclaimed here. Amen. And behold, there met him a woman with the attire of a harlot and subtle of heart. What does that subtle mean? The word subtle. Let me tell you, it's a very interesting word. It means crafty. Okay? Crafty of heart. In other words, she's trapping. She's hunting. She's trapping. She knows what she's doing. Amen? She is loud and stubborn. Oh, my. Loud and stubborn. Now, by the way, this loud and stubborn applies to Jezebel, whether there's anything sexual involved or not. Her very nature is loud and stubborn. Amen? She wants it her way. And she isn't going to give up easily. And she's loud. She, you know, an ordinary woman does not like to yell and shout and make a scene. This woman doesn't care. She is... There's no modesty. There's no shame. And doing what she's been doing, she's so full of spirits. She's taken on hundreds of spirits, unclean spirits. So she's loud and stubborn. Her feet abide not in her house. She's not the kind of woman who will make a homemaker. She won't stay home. She's got to be out there. Amen? Now is she without, now in the streets, and lieth in wait at every corner. So she caught him and kissed him, and with an impudent face said unto him. Now, impudent means lacking modesty and shameless. Listen, I can tell you from a public health nurse's point of view, everything that he says here is true. Everything he says is true. This is the nature of people that go this way, of the women that go this way. This is the nature of Jezebel. So you see it. Come now. This thing has gotten into the church. It's gotten into the church in the natural realm as well. Every now and then, you're reading of a minister that got caught in this kind of thing. Now, whether the woman came in for the purpose of destroying the church or what, I don't know. But just recently, again, another big mega church. Who was the minister? A well-known minister. He made a policy. I'll give him this. He was a pastor, a big church pastor. But he made a policy that he would never counsel a woman alone. Never. Do any of you remember who that was? Was that Billy Graham? Was that Dave Wilkerson? Who was it? It was somebody else that made that a policy. And you know what? The brother never got entangled in a situation like that. Never. Because he held rigidly to that standard. Oh, well, you could trust this sister. Nah, maybe you can, maybe you can't. But maybe you can't trust the gossip that somebody else will bring, which might be a lie. It would still destroy you. Do you understand what I'm saying? Brethren, don't be caught like this naive young man. Let me move down here a little bit. Here, verse 21. With her much fair speech, she caused him to yield. There's the word again. The word has got him. The word has moved into him. With the flattering of her lips, she forced him. Oh, this has the word force. What it really means is she seduced him. Quite strong, very strong spirit, brethren. Amen. She forced him. He goeth after her straightway. Verse 22, as an ox goeth to the slaughter. Well, yes, he's certainly going to get slaughtered. And as a fool to the correction of stocks, till a dart strike through his liver, as a bird hasteth to the snare, and knoweth not that it is for his life. Hearken unto me now, therefore, O ye children, and attend to the words of my mouth. Let that thine heart decline to her ways. Go not astray in her paths. I wonder how many people really were destroyed by the natural Jezebel. I believe there were at least 100 prophets that were destroyed by that woman. Naboth, how many more that were not recorded, that you just ran over? For she hath cast down many wounded, yea, many strong men have been slain by her. Her house is the way to hell, going down to the chambers of death. Her house is the way to hell. Who was that rock singer? Oh, what was it? How many years ago? 30, 40 years ago? Ozzy Osbourne, I'm on the highway to hell. Have you ever heard that? He played that thing. Yes, he was. He was on the highway to hell. And the people that are involved in it, why are you girls smiling? Have you heard that thing? It's a terrible, wicked record. You know, we had teenage boys at one time, years ago. And they got in with their teenage crowd. And one of the boys brought that thing home one time, and I played it. You know what I did to it? I burned it. He said, but I borrowed it. I said, I warned you. You bring that. We're fighting enough spirits in this house that we don't need you bringing more spirits in. You bring in that kind of music from the world, I'm going to burn it. We didn't have to burn but a couple, two or three of them, and they didn't come in anymore. But it was my friends. Well, that's the problem. Your friend gives it to you. Coming in here, it's going to get burned. No, not like Hillary burned her laptop. That's Jezebel burning something. Amen. Now, when the Lord said, you're going to have Jezebel, I understood that there is a spiritual Jezebel. Now, whether this church in Thyatira had a natural woman or not, I suspect they did. I suspect there was a real natural woman in Thyatira. I don't think her name was Jezebel. But the Lord said she's Jezebel, and you better deal with it as a church. Now, let me take you one more place, and then we'll... Oh, my goodness, I forgot to turn that recording on again. All right, here we go. Isaiah 47. Let's go to Isaiah 47. Now, you say as I go to Isaiah 47, you're going to say, Brother Mark, that's Babylon you're talking about. Yes, it is. Same thing. Same thing. Babylon. Isaiah 47, let's start in verse 3. Well, let's just start in the beginning. Come down and sit in the dust, O virgin daughter of Babylon. Sit on the ground. There is no throne, O daughter of the Chaldeans. See, she's not going to have her throne anymore. Amen. She's been the queen of heaven, but she's not going to have it anymore. Amen. For thou shalt no more be called tender and delicate. Take the millstones and grind meal. Uncover thy locks. Make bare the leg. Uncover the thigh. Pass over the rivers. Don't you see the picture of Jezebel here? The spirit of Jezebel. Isaiah is very bold in his description here. Amen. Thy nakedness shall be uncovered. You see, one of the things about Jezebel is she thinks she can get away with it. She gets the young man to think that he can get away with it. Nobody's going to catch you. It's all going to be done in secret. You know, it's done in darkness. But you know what? What God is saying here is that it's going to be uncovered. The wickedness is going to be brought to the light. So you have two choices if you're involved in this kind of thing. You can repent and you can expose it all to the Lord, amen, and have him put it under the blood of Jesus Christ, or you can wait until the judgment day and have it exposed to the whole universe. Which do you prefer? Put it under the blood. You know, back there in that, he said, I gave her space and time to repent. You know, there are men today that are walking in wickedness that know intellectually, they know the difference, but they're not repenting. How much time will he give for a person to repent? I gave her space and time. There comes a point in time when God says, okay, that's enough. I gave you enough space, enough time. I'm thinking of a certain man. He's got to be in his 80s now. He's older than me, let's put it that way. And I knew him many years ago. Every now and then I ask one of his kin what's happening to him. But he was very religious, but he was very wicked, secretly, very wicked. And I knew his wife. She was a very good woman. God bless her. She finally got free of that spirit. But as far as I know, he's still practicing his wickedness. And I'm thinking, Lord, why is this wicked man still living? I'm thinking to myself, why? Righteous people have died. Why is this wicked man still carrying on? And the only answer I have is, you know, son, you don't understand. You don't understand the goodness and the mercy of God. No, I admit I don't. He deserved to have died 50 years ago. Why is he still here? God is giving him yet space and time to repent of his wickedness. Let me come down to some more of these verses here. Thy nakedness shall be uncovered, yea, thy shame shall be seen. I will take vengeance, and I will not meet thee as a man. Amen. I will not arbitrate with a man, is what he's saying. As for our Redeemer, the Lord of hosts is his name, the Holy One of Israel. Sit thou silent and get thee into darkness, O daughter of the Chaldeans, for thou shalt no more be called the Lady of Kingdoms. This is Roman Catholicism again, their worship of Mary. They're not worshiping Mary. They're worshiping Semiramis. They're worshiping Jezebel. Jezebel was another personification of Semiramis. Everything about Jezebel applied. It was another personification of Semiramis. And she spread out in this whole feminist movement today, in this woke movement. It's coming on with a strength that I have never seen and could never possibly imagine that this thing would come about. You know, God said to Abraham, the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet full. It needed 400 more years. God, how many more years do we need for this iniquity to be full? This has got to be a stench in the nostrils. How can, if I can hardly stand it, how can God stand it? The long suffering of God. I was wroth with my people. I have polluted mine inheritance and given them unto thine hand. Thou didst show them no mercy. Upon the ancient hast thou very heavily laid thy yoke. Thou saidest, I shall be a lady forever, so that thou didst not lay these things to thy heart, neither didst remember the latter end of it. Therefore hear now this, thou that art given to pleasures, that dwellest carelessly, that sayest in thy heart, I am and none else beside me. I shall not sit as a widow, neither shall I know the loss of children. This spirit has gotten into the highest realm of government. Laws are being changed. Ordinances are being changed to accommodate this spirit. Yes, in our country. And she's very proud right now. She stands before those multicolored flags, rainbow flags, marches in the streets, calls it pride. Pride cometh before destruction, brethren. Amen. But these two things shall come upon thee in a moment, in one day. The loss of children, widowhood, they shall come upon thee in their perfection. For the multitude of thy sorceries, and for the great abundance of thine enchantments. For thou hast trusted in thy wickedness. Thou hast said, none seeth me. Thy wisdom and thy knowledge, it hath perverted thee. And thou hast said in thine heart, I am, and none else beside me. Therefore shall evil come upon thee. Thou shalt not know from whence it riseth. And mischief shall fall upon thee. Thou shalt not be able to put it off. And desolation shall come upon thee suddenly, which thou shalt not know. Stand now with thine enchantments, and with the multitude of thy sorceries, wherein thou hast labored from thy youth. If so be, thou shalt be able to profit. If so be, thou mayest prevail. Thou art wearied in the multitude of thy counsels. Let now the astrologers and the stargazers and the monthly prognosticators stand up and save thee from these things that shall come upon thee. Behold, it shall be as stubble. The fire shall burn them. They shall not deliver themselves from the power of the flame. There shall not be a coal to warm at, nor fire to sit before it. Thus shall they be unto thee, with whom thou hast labored, even thy merchants from thy youth. They shall wander every one to his quarter. None shall save thee. I'm sure we've chewed up a lot of time, but go to Revelation 17 and 18 to follow up on this. I'm not going to read it right now. You know what it is. It's the downfall of Babylon. Brethren, let us pray that this whole system of Jezebel, this whole system of woman's lib, this whole sexual revolution, this whole thing has to be brought down, brethren. We cannot be a partaker of it. We cannot be a partaker in our mind to be sympathetic to this movement. You know, the things I'm saying, it could come to where they would say, well, brother, you're speaking hate speech. We could be arrested for that. As surely as Jason could have been arrested for just reading his Bible down in Cuba. Why are you here? Why are you on this Zoom? Brethren, it's because you agree with the message. It's because you've been longing for a truth. You've been longing to see Babylon cast down. You've been longing to see the fullness of the kingdom of God. You've been longing for the fullness of the kingdom in you, in me. I want the kingdom in me. Amen. Lord, I want these other spirits. I want them cast down. I want these idols cast down. Amen. In the name of Jesus. God bless. I think that's all I'm going to do today. But I'm leaving the recording on. So just whatever God is speaking to you, add to it.
There's one little thing I want to add about Jezebel. And when I say this, there's going to be some wives somewhere that clap. But I'm going to hold you. I'm going to ask you to hold your clapping until I'm all the way done. One of the meanings of the name Jezebel is unhusbanded. Unhusbanded. And so the reason I said there'd be some wives clap, it's going to excuse what they're doing, because they're going to say, see, I'm the way I am because my husband's not really doing his job. But the fact of the matter is, she actually did have a husband, okay? And Ahab was a pretty wicked guy, but you know, he wasn't even as bad as Jezebel. I mean, at least he didn't kill Naboth. And there was a couple other little things in his life in the scripture that shows there was a little element of something in him that, you know, he was a little better. And so the point I want to make is it takes both parties. Okay, in order for there to be a Jezebel, there does need to be a husband that's not being a husband. And so both parties are to blame. And so as a man, we're susceptible to being controlled by that sexual spirit. And as a woman, you're susceptible to being used by that unclean spirit. So us men need to fight to not be controlled by it, and you women need to fight to be not used by it. And so I wanted to just throw that out there because, you know, it's a current battle that we're fighting today, and it has ruined a lot of things. And then a couple other little quick things, an experience I had one time. I went to one of our conferences in Jamaica. I think it was in the 90s, and you talk about being naive. We landed in the airport, and you know, when you come off the plane, you come into this sort of a lobby area in the airport. It was kind of a smaller airport. So I come walking in there, and here's this little bar. It's a, you know, like a drinking bar. Here's this little bar. It's about 4 or 5 feet long, and sitting at it is a black Jamaican woman, all seductively dressed with her legs crossed. And here she's got a drink on this bar, and there's two chairs at the table. And I'm telling you, the spirit around that woman was so strong, I felt like I could cut it with a knife. I mean, it was just the spirit of seduction. There wasn't one question about what she was doing there. She was looking to hook some rich guy coming off that plane. And then in the course of the convention, I was just shocked. I mean, people were up at 1, 2, 3 o'clock at night, partying around the swimming pools, drinking and laughing. And I mean, it was just a spirit I'd never witnessed so strong. It's like just that whole spirit of seduction was just permeating the air. So I'm saying all this to say, guys, just run like the wind, because, man, that thing will grab a hold of you. And then I want to correct Mark on one little thing, just so you know. Don't only stay away from Ozzy Osbourne. That song was actually by AC/DC, and you need to stay away from them, too. Amen.
Will you young people want to add anything to that? You're out there among other young people, you know what's going on.
I'm young.
Yeah, you are.
Yes. I was really thinking about how we discern and how we deal when we start to see the manifestation of decibel. And it comes in so many, many forms. And it comes to lie, to steal and destroy. And the decibel is sure a murdering spirit. And if you look at 2 Kings and chapter 9, and verse 32, when Jehu is coming and Jezebel had been painting her face and ready to speak to him, it is really good for us to see what is taking place, because Jehu is fasting on her. She is speaking to him, but he don't answer her. He don't speak a word to her. He is fasting on everything that she is saying. He don't respond on anything from her. And he says, and he lifted up his face to the window. So she was in a high place. And we know it's a powerful spirit. And he said, who is on my side.
Amen.
And that is what we have to do when we discern the spirit. We have to look, put our face to heaven, and we have to ask who is on our side. I have been dealing with things like this, and I have been crying, oh, who is on my side? And thank God for that I have a brethren and sisters in Christ. I have a precious people of God that I can ask God who to speak to, who to talk to, and he put a name in my mind to call them. And when I do so, they come with a counsel and a wisdom from God into the situation. And when we do that, we are doing the same thing as Jehu did. Who is on my side? And those who are on our side start to pray and take action and cast this spirit down by the blood of the Lamb and by the Spirit of our living God. It's a powerful, it's a reality. And when you are hit by these things, when you see these things, if you are in doubt about these things, cry out to God, and he will put some brethren or sisters in your mind to speak to, call to, and you will put these things down. Amen.
Amen.
I want to throw out one last little quick thing. One thing I just absolutely loved about that story of Jehu, they saw him coming from a long distance, and they said, here comes somebody, and he rideth as one like Jehu. He rideth furiously like one like Jehu. And so they send somebody out to try to stop him. He doesn't even quit galloping his horse. He says, just get behind me if you want to live, and keeps going. And the thought that came to my mind is, how would you like it to be said about you, that guy, look how serious he is about God. You know, they noticed him from a distance. They knew he was coming to mean business. And boy, what a privilege that would be to have God think of you in that manner.
Amen. Remember, God wrote that book. God wanted that put in.
It's very necessary that we discern Jezebel in this time. When we read about this story, we see that Jezebel came against 10 tribes of Israel. And when she is not brought down in time, she will brought forth her daughter. And it was her daughter, Athaliah, that came against the 2 last of tribes of Israel.
That's right.
And so if we do not put her down, and I know that body of Christ is going to put these things down, and we have to stand together, because Athaliah is the power that is coming against the 2 last tribe of Israel. Athaliah is the main thing that come against the 2 witnesses, the 2 last one.
Yeah. Now, most of what Tommy Cook, by the way, as I mentioned before, he's a man that knew more about the spirit of Jezebel than any man that I ever knew. And most of what Tommy Cook had to say, I did put in this book. And maybe Gordon has Tommy's original. This is on the website, by the way. Gordon, I think, has some of his original recordings as well. If he can find some of the better ones of that, I would put it on the website too. But I definitely want to get this thing of Brother Campbell on, if it can be found. So let's pray that somebody can find that hidden away in the archives somewhere, because I understand it's a very, very anointed word.
I've got a
copy. Brother Mark.
Go ahead.
Yeah. I just wanted to ask Brother Mark the name of that book you held up again. I didn't catch it the first time.
Oh, it's on the website.
But what's the name of it?
7 Letters to 7 Churches.
Okay, thank you.
You go to the part about books.
Yeah.
And then you go to the chapter. I did each church a separate chapter. Well, you'll find, yeah, pages 113 to 146. A lot of Tommy Cook, I copied the nature of Jezebel, her ways, the way she operates in the home. Let me just give you a little example here. The traits of Jezebel, the traits in the church. Other names for Jezebel, Jezebel in the family, how she works in a family, how there is no peace in the home. Jehu said, how can there be peace as long as your mother Jezebel is in her seductress? Amen. So, yeah, there's lists of 15 traits of Jezebel, many, many other things that I got from Tommy Cook. So you'll just have to, and you can probably copy it out of the and get it printed if you want from the book, different pages, not copyrighted for you.
I've got a copy of Tommy Cook's original book on Jezebel. If anybody's interested in getting a copy of it, I wouldn't mind. I have a copy machine. I could copy it and mail it to you or whatever. So if anybody wants that, you can get my email address from Mark, I think, or maybe
well,
I'll...
Well, Mike, Gordon might have the original digital. If that was a book, he might have it in his computer somewhere.
Okay, yeah.
And if that's true, we could put that whole thing on the website.
Yeah.
Among the articles and books.
Okay, yeah, that'd be even better yet.
There is a lot of message and tape from Tommy Cook on Blake Hamilton Bible Camp. I went into that page and I listened to many messages that he brought there. And so...
Is there a website, Daniel?
Yeah, it's... I think it's... let's see.
I tell you what, why don't you send Howard that link?
Yes.
And we'll post it up on our website, and then you can cross link and go over to that website. Yeah, that would have all of Tommy's information.
Very much of his teaching is available there. So it's good to get hold of on it and even save it on your computer.
Okay, well, I believe we've come to the end of our meeting today.
Sorry, Leo, we didn't get the name of the website.
He's going to put it on our website. He's going to put the name of their website. He's going to send it to Howard and ask Howard to put what's it called? Some camp.
Is it sunlightdevotional.org?
No, it's not sunlight. It's another one.
Okay.
I've heard the name of it before. What was the name again, Daniel? Here it is. Lake Hamilton Bible Camp.
Yeah, you can find that through the Google. And you can write just his name, Tommy Cook, and search for it.
Well, you know, it just seems like Jezebel caught Tommy and just took him out. There's no reason for a man to die by falling through a glass door. I think that Jezebel absolutely hated him because of what he knew and understood. So, brethren, we really need to be careful. I think we're coming to the place where the enemy very, very much hates us and would take any opportunity he can to take us out. Just need to be covered under the blood. What was the last that you put up? It disappeared already. Oh, maybe it's in the chat here. Let me read it in the chat. Oh my goodness. Okay, IHBConline.com, Tommy Cook. Oh, LH, Lake Hamilton Bible Camp, online.com, Tommy Cook. Okay, good. Thank you very much, Brother Daniel. Well, are we ready to bring it to a close today?
Hello?
Brother Edie?
Yeah, you're still recording. You can shut the records. I wanted to make, I have a cast for prayers. Can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you.
Okay. We will be out from Gabu by Saturday. By Saturday this week, we're traveling to Sierra Leone. The whole family here, the four of us, me, my wife, and then the two children. So we are leaving Gabu on Saturday this week. And then we'll be in Sierra Leone by Monday. We'll be there for about 3 weeks. And then two of our children are coming in from Nigeria also to Sierra Leone. They will arrive on the 16th, on the Sunday. We'll arrive after them on the Monday. So we'll be there for about 3 weeks. We need the mercy of God and the grace of God over our lives while we're there.
Yes, so you're going to Sierra Leone.
Yes, please.
Yes. Brother is asking for prayer.
They ask if you can turn off the recording also.
I haven't turned it off. Oh, do you want it turned off? All right, let me turn it off.